Well, I too greet each one of you in Jesus' name and welcome. A warm welcome, spiritually and physically, it is warm. I was blessed to hear Brother Arnold's name brought forward and prayer requested or given for him a couple times this morning because his name was on my heart this morning and earlier this morning, and as I thought of him, I prayed for him and communicated with him briefly, and I just want to encourage the church family here. It just was impressed upon me that here's a young man. I say young man. He is.
He still is.
Who I don't believe is just gadding about the countryside seeing which next place he could go and do something. But rather, there was the call, the responsibility, and I believe he chose to go. And so I just want to encourage, he's a man who faces the challenges of life, and I believe at times struggles to know God's will for his life like any of us would. On top of serving in countrysides and situations that are not real hospitable. So I just say all that to say, let's reach out to him. He has communication by email and Voxer or whatever you would like to do so. And if he receives just some little thoughts, encouragement, whatever springs out of your heart, that would be wonderful. We don't need to do some choreographed thing, but I've been blessed to know that God has been, I think, speaking to more of us here in that regard, and so I trust that that's already. I just want to encourage that and promote that. This morning is Mother's Day. Today is Mother's Day, and I have chosen to bring a message to the mothers. And sometimes I've thought about that and wondered if, you know, if this is just one of those necessary things we do, and I don't feel that way about this message this morning, and I hope you don't take it that way. I hope that the mothers who are downstairs in the basement or up in the nursery can hear me this morning. I hope that if there's any that are at home that they've been able to call in, not because it's me here, but just because I believe there is a message that God has for mothers, and I would just like to bless you all with that, Lord willing, here for the next 30 minutes. Mothers. That's the message title, Mothers. Now, we have a lot of mothers here this morning. We have a lot of young mothers here this morning. And God has given us many children. And as I was pondering that, I pulled out the directory and began to flip through it. To my sort of rough count, the mothers that are members and a part of this congregation here have born and birthed about 86 children, and that probably does not count some who may not have made it full term, some that we may not even know about. And so What that sort of stirred in my mind is that this group of sisters knows something about mothering. This group of sisters knows something about mothering. What a gift that is. And what a blessing that is to know that within the mothers of this congregation is a wealth of knowledge in the art of mothering. Whether you feel that way this morning or not, that's just the way it is. Just to give you an example of how I think that way, I just remember when we were down in Nazipur and we were called to the house of a young girl who was not able to birth her child. And one of the comforts I took was the fact that while there was no way to get her to the bright lights of an operating room, The women who were attending her had attended hundreds and hundreds of births. And so the experience and the knowledge they had is really unparalleled. And you can send somebody through certain schools and receive good teaching. I'm not here to bash that. But there's nothing like that experience of time and again and again and again. And so that's why I say this morning that we have, I speak with all confidence, this is not any kind of, the word's not coming to me, but I speak with confidence in that this morning we have a wealth of knowledge in the art of mothering, and I thank God for that. And so to you young sisters, the answer to almost any question you might have, or that any first-time mother might have, or any times after that, can be found here. It really can be. And I hope that our mothers, and I pray that they are, are asking the hard questions that they might have in their hearts to each other and are willing to do that, because I believe that we can help each other much in this. We live in a society this morning that is being challenged in the art of mothering. I believe that. There is a reason, there's many reasons for this. I'll just list a few. Children are not wanted for selfish reasons, and so there are very few children. Society is squelching the natural gift of mothering. They want to press that down. It's being done in many ways, suggesting that professionals can do a better job. And this is probably a side trail, but I do believe that we have been blessed with much in the way of doctors and pediatricians and so on and so forth. And we use them, and we should. I'm not here to advocate against that. But at the same time, there is a lot of philosophy and a lot of other techniques that are built into, especially as I think about the pediatric field, that I think we do well to be cautious about. Because the responsibility and the weight and the natural God-given talent is given to the mother for the child. And so let's encourage that, of course, in its place. And let's allow that to exist. But I believe, going back to the negative, that is one of the ways in which mothers have become, in some ways, fearful to mother. Because where's the liability going to come from if this isn't handled properly, or whatever it might be? So let's be careful about that, suggesting that professionals can do a better job. Mothers giving birth to one child, to only one child, do not have the breadth of experience to pass on as much to the rising generation. If you have experience with one child, and God bless you if you can only conceive one child, certainly this doesn't apply to you. But the point being that when one child is the extent of your mothering experience, you certainly haven't had the breadth of experience that someone who's had 8 or 10. Doesn't mean you're a bad mom, doesn't mean any of that. It just is saying that there is so much that is learned as you discover that, well, that my fifth child seems to have a different personality than all the rest of them, and the fourth is a little different, and the third's a little different, and so there it is. And so there we have the challenges of motherhood come, begin to stack up. Dear friends, this morning, when mothers go bad, a society that more than likely is already on a downward trend goes into a free fall. When mothers go bad, society goes into a free fall. I don't believe mothers go bad necessarily. I believe that they can become a product of their society. And so that's why I said society that's going down, the natural course of all the earth, a society that is naturally falling apart, when the mothers begin that downward course, when they too, it's about over. And so this morning, I believe the place of a mother is incredibly important. What amazes me, if you mothers are listening, what amazes me is the strength of motherhood. It's the power, the sway, the influence, and all that's wrapped up in motherhood is strong. It's very strong. It's not sort of a passive thing. It's a very offensive work in many ways, motherhood. When you look into God's animal kingdom, you see the strength of mothers taking care of their young, and you look at that and you're amazed. Now, it's true, there's probably some dogs that are better mothers than other mothers. I would assume that's the way it is. But it's so interesting to see when our Goldie had pups, that's all she did. That is all she did. And if she finally, as she got a little older, the pups got a little older, and she got away from them, she would maybe be off to the side somewhere just to get away from them, because mothers probably need that too. They need a little space sometimes, and I don't know if some of you fathers could help out with a little space here this morning or not for our mothers. But when one of the children, one of us would approach those puppies, guess who was right there? I mean, Mom came fast. Even though she trusted us, she wanted to be right there. Wanted to be right there. It's incredible to see that. How did they learn that? Well, they're instincts that are being instilled by the Creator. I believe that's the answer. And that is the same God who is instilling into mothers their ability to mother. And it's incredible to me. As I've traveled, I've been amazed by the universality of motherhood. It's so amazing to see that. And so I have had the privilege of getting around just a little bit in the world. And of course, you know that I've been in Bangladesh, and so that's probably been my broadest experience with a very different culture and observing mothers. And I'll admit to you, when I go there, that I enjoy observing mothers and their children, because it gives you such a window into society. And one of the things I've just been amazed at is what I see in the role of mothers. It's so similar wherever you are. And why is that? The culture can be so different. The environment can be so different. The opportunities may be so different. The position of the woman herself in that society may be so different, and except for the role of the mother. And so you can have all, the women can be as oppressed and what it seems to be, and yet you will see a husband who would in some ways tend to treat his wife almost as a dog, work with her quite cooperatively in caring for their little children. Because, well, what do you want me to do here? And you know, and so there's this interaction and involvement, and it's interesting to see that. This is not by chance, but rather I believe that each mother has been programmed by God Himself. And there's something else that's of interest, and that is, I think it is an observable fact, and I believe it's also now been a scientifically proved fact, that when a woman gives birth to a child, her mind develops and changes further than what it is right now. There is a change biologically, hormonally, I don't know what it all is, but there is a change that happens when that takes place. And that's incredible. And that's the way God has designed it. And so if you're sitting here this morning fearing as to whether or not you could be a mother or handle those responsibilities, you're worrying about something that God already has solved. And that is that He will provide that ability, that instinct, that knowledge, that innate. It's amazing to see that. I was a young man. See, probably if with experience you look back and you would wish that you could observe things for the first time with the experience you have now or something. That's impossible to do, but it'd be interesting to see the change in my wife or the change in your wife when the first child came. I know that I saw changes and thought about changes in my own life and in our lives, but it'd be interesting to observe how that is. So that's the way God's created it, and we are created, as we are all created in His image and likeness, He has planted into mothers the necessary ingredients that when children arrive, it awakens, I believe it awakens into the full bloom of nurturing motherhood. And as I thought about this in my wending sort of opening thoughts here in the platform from which I'd like to proceed forward, as I considered this, I concluded that motherhood is just as God designed it. After all, He placed Himself in that very care Himself. Have we thought about that? God has designed motherhood with the knowledge that He was going to place Himself in the care of one of His creations and one of His designs. And so He did that. And so God Himself was nurtured and raised up and experienced motherhood. And that is incomprehensible, and yet I believe it is a reality. Because we do believe that God came to earth as a baby, was conceived in the womb, experienced the connections to a mother that occur from the womb, and so forth. It's an amazing thought. And so this morning, my heart in this message is not to challenge or bring guilt to you mothers, because I'm going to show you some shortcoming or in your work as a mother or make you somehow feel like you've not attained. And I don't really even intend to raise the bar this morning by this message, but rather I want these thoughts that we're going to look at, we have 3 points, to bless. I would like these thoughts to confirm. I would like these thoughts to encourage you mothers in this great and good work that you're engaged in right now. And so, 3 points I have I'd like to look at. Let's turn to Titus chapter 2. Now, we go to Titus 2 for a lot of things, but I'd like us to look at it this morning for a few minutes as we think about mother and mothers and motherhood. Verse 4 says this, speaking to the aged women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then it goes on for instructions to young men. One of the things I wanted to encourage, we do have aged women in our church here. I think of Sister Linda and Sister Barb, and I don't know, let's just say older women. Older sisters, we have them in our church family here, and I want to encourage them, older mothers, to build up, encourage, instruct, to teach here the young women. And we have heard that that does happen some, and I'm blessed by that. What I wanted to notice here in verse 4 is this word love. And there's two different Greek words being used in verse 4. The one for the love for their husbands and the other for the love for their children. And the love for the husbands and the love for the children have, like I said, just a little different meaning to them. And this this word love here of our children is talking of being fond for one's children. And it's talking about maternal love. It is talking about a love for one's children. Now, those aren't real unique. They're not real unique definitions of this word, but I just want us to understand that the words that are being used have different meanings. There was a Greek word that explained the love of a mother different from the love for a husband or other loves. And that's right and that's appropriate because there is a unique love that a mother has. And so my first point is this. Mothers are love. Mothers are love. And as I think about this love of a mother, it's not dependent upon the child. except that this is the child that God has given me. And I believe that we receive our children in more ways than just biological birth. And I'm also willing to accept the possibilities that a woman who is never given in marriage and perhaps never and never has the experience of a biological child can serve in the role of motherhood as she gives herself to children, be it in, well, just in numerous ways. And I'm not planning to elaborate on that. But I'm coming back to this idea of a mother's love. It is uniquely pointed towards, it is unique in its love for their children. A mother's love is not, as I already said, is not dependent upon the child. It is understood that the child's, the little child's mother, or the man's mother, or a woman's mother, I'm thinking about adults, it is not expected that a mother is going to stand against her child. And she is not pressed to do that. There'll be times when a son goes very wrong, and he may become a murderer or some atrocity, and you'll see his father stand up and make a statement. In fact, sometimes he's pursued for a statement. But you don't see that being pressed towards a mother. Very rarely do you see that being pressed by the pursued by the press or expected by society, because there's just an understanding that a mother shouldn't be put into that place. A mother's maternal love for her child is a sacred place, and it's a sacred thing. And that doesn't mean that love is only expressed in some beautiful little platitudes and very... A mother's love has some very sharp edges to it at times. And it can. And we'll look at that, think about that a little more as we go along. Mothers nurture and they teach and they correct as only mothers can. There is... Now I see that Brother Leo and Judith aren't here this morning, but their children are. And so there's really no one who can fill that void. There are some temporary helpers, but it's not mom and dad. And if things start to sort of go awry, mom and dad will take care of it when they get home. And that's just the way it is. And it's just expected. And it's the right thing. Mothers spend the most time with the child. That's just how God arranged it. That's just the way it is. It's expected. It's normal. It's the way it should be. And let's not try to change this. Let's not try to change it. And I would suggest that, first of all, like to say that as fathers, this gives us no excuse for disengaging or not being involved. It doesn't give us that excuse at all. But we cannot change the fact that mothers have the gifts and carry the responsibility of spending more time with our children than the fathers do. And I would just like to go on to say this, that about the time the father tries to spend more time with the children than the mother does, more than likely, mother is going to need to take up some of the father's responsibilities. And so there you go. And there you have the handoff. And there you have a change away from God's design, God's plan. Mothers are love. The love of a mother is a given. It's a given. It is expected and it is received. And that's a beautiful thing to me. And you'll see that safe haven. You'll see that when as you mature a little bit, you'll even, in different cultures, there's different ways of handling their children. And some, you'll hear it get loud. You'll hear it get sort of rough and tough. But do you want to know something? There's still love there. And And I guess maybe as you mature a little bit and as you begin to see some of that, you understand how that, diverse, how different mothers' loves can be expressed. But it is without shaking that bedrock of that's what mother is. Mother loves me, she cares for me, and so on. I don't know if I can define that, describe that clearly enough. What I'm just saying is, I'm giving room in this room, giving space in this room for there to be varied ways in which mothers express their love and not to feel guilty about that. But it is possible, I'm not going to say it's impossible, for a woman and a mother to lose her love for her children. It is possible, but I would say that that is an unnatural position, not a natural position, so I'm working from that standpoint. I believe that our mothers here love their children, and that's going to be unshaken as they live for God and are disciples of Christ. God has designed that, and I already stated this somewhat, but I'd like to just say it again. God has designed that when a mother gives birth, they also develop in maternal love. That develops, it comes out of them. And they begin to protect. They begin to build a different nest when they're expecting a child. They begin to, and we can sort of chuckle about those things and raise our eyebrows if we want to as men. But the long and short of it, we like it. And it's interesting to notice, too, that the toughest and the gruffest of men and the hardest of men still softened around mother. And that's interesting to see that. As I think about mother's love, I'd just like to say this yet. Oh, it's also interesting to notice that regardless of the society, whether it be Christian or unchristian, as a general rule I'm speaking, it's interesting to notice that men, and I've been bothered by this, so I want to say it not in a positive way, but in a negative way. You'll hear men say to their sons or other people, hey, watch your mouth, your mother's here. That's always bothered me because it's like, watch your mouth, God is listening. You know, it's the same. But having said that, there is something that has been lost in the last generations or two, where that is no longer even considered. And it seems like that has been, that may be just one of the pieces that has broken the back of the role of a mother, the respect of a mother, the appreciation and receiving a mother's love. And our society has walked away from that. Mothers are to be respected and cherished because of who they are. Mothers, you are love. The second point that I have, I'd like to go to Proverbs 31 and just look at a few verses there. You probably expected me to go to this chapter sooner or later. And who doesn't go to Proverbs 31 to look at the industrious woman and maybe feel guilty about it? I don't know what you're thinking about right now, and that's not my intentions. I'd like to just look at a few verses in Proverbs 31. This morning. And my point is, mothers are strong. I don't care this morning if you're here with physical disabilities or here with any other kind of disabilities. It doesn't change the fact that mothers are strong. And it is incredible to me to see that. When a mother moves into protection mode for her child, you really don't know how far that'll go, because that is incredible to see. If you'll go to verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. I just sort of pulled that out of there, and we could look at some of the other verses here. She riseth, verse 15, and while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household. And verse 17, I already talked about her strengthening her arms. That to me is not about a woman lifting weights. It may mean, although I do think our women do that, our mothers do that quite regularly with their babies, I still don't know how they can hold them as long as they do. And that's why I say mothers are strong. But she does it because it's her mind. Her mind says, this is my child. This is my duty. And she fulfills it. And so she strengthens her arms. She girds her mind and prepares for the responsibility of a child. And so she looketh well, verse 27, to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. I don't see idle mothers here this morning. I see mothers who are giving care to their children and to their homes. And that says to me that this is just, once again, proof that mothers are strong. There was a good bit in the news recently about Atoya Graham. You may have read about her in Baltimore. When the riots were happening there a few weeks ago, she saw her son on the television. As she was watching the news, she saw her son throwing rocks. And so she proceeded to the scene and looked for her son till she found him. He had a mask on his face, but he couldn't hide from his mother, see. And what was so interesting to notice is that he was unafraid to run up to the police and lob pieces of concrete and bricks at them, but he was ducking and squirming and almost running away from his mother. And why is that? What did she hold over him? She held a lot over him because she was his mother. And there is a strength in motherhood that cannot be denied. And even when it appears like it has been denied, it never really has been. And I was, as you think about a youth or someone who just turns away, in the end, I believe that the strength of a mother will still reach that child many, many years later. So what is it about mothers? How do they carry such weight? How do they carry it so much physically, like I already mentioned, but how do they carry so much clout is what I was talking about now. How do they carry so much? It's because of their place of a mother. It's because there is also this connection from a child that understands what it has received, understands the love of a mother, and knows that when mom is upset with me, something must be wrong. And will respond to that. In all societies, we see the strength of a mother. I have been amazed at these little wisps of ladies who seem to hardly have enough carrying, lugging a child. Some of us get to put our children into seat belts and vehicles and car seats and go down the road. We don't have to walk for a couple miles. Well, what do you do when you walk for a couple kilometers and your 3 and 4 year old just wore out? You carry them. And so you'll have a child that's about, appears to be head here and feet down to here, and a little lady is lugging this child. And you wonder how. It's because mothers are strong. It's because they will take care of their child. And so you see that, and it's amazing to see that. That is something that God, that is part of this change. It's part of the ability, it's part of what God has given to a mother. And throughout the generations, many men have been lauded for their great feats of war and strength. But it's really been the mothers who have borne the weight of the atrocities of humanity. It is really the mothers who have nurtured their children through the difficulties of those generations, through sickness, through abandonment, through families, through famine, through all the difficulties of the generations. And mothers have done it. It's because that's how God made you. It's because that's the ability God gave you, and He will continue to do so. And that's a beautiful thing to me. It is a God thing. Mothers, you are strong. The last point I have, mothers are influence. That's what they are. Mothers influence their children. It has been that way since the beginning of time. It will continue to be that way until God says, I'm done with this whole plan. I believe that day will come. You could go to 2 Chronicles 22, verse 3. We're not going to turn there, but it talks about Ahaziah. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. And how wicked a young man must be when his mother is his counselor to do wickedly. How very wicked that situation must be. Timothy was influenced by his mother and grandmother. Familiar verses to us. Paul said this to Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." That's wonderful. So this morning, men, I believe we too can make judgments. Can we make judgments about a young person because I know the faith that was in your mother and your grandmother? I hope that we can. I know it's a personal choice. We can't change any of that, but mothers are influenced. They are influential. Mothers, you have the ear of your children like no one else does. I'll say it again. You have the ears of your children like no one else does. I know that fathers are also called to teach. We have a responsibility. We have, and I'm pretty sure we are not doing enough. But neither can we change the fact that mothers have the ear of our children like no one else does. You are the greatest influence for your children. You have a God-given gift to know when to push forward and when to protect your children. God has given you that gift. I believe we see it in Mary when she said to Jesus, "You make him some wine. Hey, you people, do whatever he says." And he says, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" Mary said, "I'm kicking you out of the nest." She didn't say that. I'm not even sure. Maybe I've gone too far with that statement. But I believe it's quite obvious that Mary knew in her heart, she knew her child, that it was time. She understood. And mothers know those things. And mothers also know when to say, yeah. I mean, as fathers, we need mothers a lot that way. And they say, "Look, this is not a good thing. Are you really comfortable with, well, yeah, well, I guess I hadn't thought about that. And yeah, you're right." And so, or maybe not. Maybe we have some conversation and we understand each other and we move forward. That's fine too. But mothers have that ability. God's given it to them. And so mothers, you are influential. God bless you. I thank God for a good mother. I thank God for a good mother for our children. And I thank God for the good mothers that he's given us in this assembly. May God bless you. May you be encouraged and strengthened to keep doing this hard work. Let's kneel together for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do fall down here before you on this beautiful morning at the close of this service, and we thank you, O God, for this ability to come together and to worship together, to be instructed by your word. We thank you, O God, for the good mothers that you've given us, and Lord, you know that we didn't have perfect mothers, and you know that the mothers of our children, those of us who are fathers, are not perfect either. And yet we thank you for this perfect plan that you have put in place for children to be born, birthed, and nurtured by a mother. One who understands, has perceptions, has abilities, has strengths and loves and influence that you have designed and programmed and placed within their hearts and their minds. And so I pray that you would bless them. We lift up the mothers to you, those who are carrying the weight of the middle of life. We lift them up to you especially. Oh God, I pray for strength. I pray for wisdom. I pray for grace. And Lord, we think of those who perhaps are soon to be mothers and those who are perhaps wishing to be mothers. Whatever role they may be in, oh God, we just pray that you would bless them too. May they experience your peace and your comforts. And we pray too for the older sisters among us. I pray that you would also suit them with a gift of grace as they look back at their mothering. And I pray that they could also be given boldness to share, to teach, to encourage wherever they see the need. And so we just give all of this to you, and we thank you for our children. And we pray, oh God, that out of this congregation would rise up children like Timothy, because of the faith of their mother, that they too are willing to pursue the path of righteousness and whatever that may cost them. So we just give all of this to you, and we ask it in Jesus' name.